Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome, I'm John Ramos. Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. We're excited to have all of our viewers on CTN Christian Television Network. You know, we are on every day, Monday through Friday, between 5 and 6 p.m. in your homes, in your living rooms, or wherever you watch VFN TV. And we're excited about the opportunity to be with you. Also, we want to welcome all of those that are listening to us on the radio across the nation and the world. We enjoy having this conversation. And listen, don't forget that we are two programs back-to-back, and you can always find out more at VFNTV.com. We try to give you everything there, quick and an easy place to locate and see and share. But we have everything from apps for all platforms, you name it, podcasts. We have ways that you can watch online. And what we're trying to do is help facilitate, as much as we can, so that you can get the information that you need and so that you can share it with others. Together, we're working to keeping the conversation light and sharing that light around the nation and the world. In today's program, here to encourage you is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello. And Steve Kalaszewski.
Hello.
No good day?
Good day, sir.
Thank you. Good day. The good day always sounds better. He says hello, it just throws me off. Mm-hmm. Just keep with the good day. I like it. It's your signature, man.
There you go. There apparently, I got a signature.
Yeah, and a fan base. My boys like it.
Tell Elijah, say hello.
We're going to be talking today about the Saturday and the Sunday people and what happened recently to a rabbi in Miami from Brooklyn visiting his daughter. And this is horrible, but we want to be aware so that we can pray. We don't want to close our eyes to what's happening, but you know, we were just talking in our previous program about Hamas. We were talking about the persecution of Christians in Iraq, but understand that it's Jews and Christians that are being persecuted, and it has turned up a notch. Open Door Ministry is a ministry that basically investigates and researches regarding the church and countries that have the highest persecution. North Korea is still listed as the number one country, but there's over 50 of them. And to my surprise, and maybe to your surprise, Colombia was in the top 20. And listen, there are many countries right now that are not favorable to Christians and Jews. And we need to stand for the Jews so that there's somebody to stand with us later. It's not the only reason, but that is an important reason. But we want to share with you this segment regarding what was just shared in Miami and their reports. It's just absolutely astonishing. Watch this.
Now at 11, a rabbi shot while walking to synagogue. Tonight, police are searching for whoever is responsible. The religious leader was visiting from New York when he was shot in broad daylight.
And tonight, the victim's grieving daughter is talking to Just One Station. The night team's Rosh Lowe spoke with her just a little while ago. Rosh is live once again tonight in Northeast Miami-Dade with the exclusive. Rosh?
Okay, let me show you first off, before we get into the story, the scene which is going on behind me. It is 11 o'clock in the evening, and as you can see here on Northeast 175th Street, many members of the Jewish community have come out here. They have come to the spot where a rabbi was shot and killed. Just about an hour ago, I was able to speak with the daughter of this rabbi. She spoke with Just One Station this evening, and she really wanted to get the message out there that as police investigate this, she truly believes this was a hate crime.
I just know that someone shot him from the side. The bullet just went from the side here all the way down, went out. The thing is, it went through and it touched the heart.
Shuli Lepkowski is still in a state of shock. Her father, Rabbi Yosef Raskin, was shot and killed when he was walking to synagogue Saturday morning in northeast Miami-Dade. She says her father was killed in a hate crime.
I don't know. I think it's a hate crime. We've been having around here too much.
Why do you think it's a hate crime?
Because I haven't heard someone was shot just like that. They were maybe mugged.
Miami-Dade police are investigating the shooting. They say at this point they don't think it's a hate crime, but they add this is still an active, ongoing investigation. For the rabbi's family, it is quite clear. What do you want the police to do?
I want them to start taking care of this neighborhood and stop telling me I had a robbery in my house 2 years ago. Coming again home from the Sabbath, I come into my house. It's all upside down. They said they're going to catch. They let them go. They caught someone. They let them go. And then it's going on and on and on here. They're not taking care of this neighborhood as much as other places. And it has to stop. It really has to stop.
And now this daughter pleading with Miami-Dade police and the community for answers.
I want them to find them and investigate the crime as a hate crime. And I want them to take care of this place.
All right. So that daughter is obviously devastated. The victim in this case leaves behind many children, many more grandchildren. As you look at this live scene in northeast Miami-Dade, I want to mention this. The community is now offering a $50,000 reward. That's $50,000. If you have any information on who shot and killed this rabbi, Rabbi Raskin, who was walking to synagogue Saturday morning. We're live in northeast Miami-Dade. Rosh Lowe, 7 News Night Team.
Okay, Rosh, thank you. Team 7 coverage continues now. The Night Team's Lorena Estrada is also on that scene in northeast Miami-Dade.
A community is devastated. They tell us they don't feel safe. They are horrified that a short walk to Temple could end in murder.
He was one of the most generous people out there.
Rabbi Yosef Raskin shot and killed on Sabbath Saturday, a day of religious observance for the Orthodox Jewish community. The 60-year-old was walking to this synagogue in northeast Miami-Dade around 9 a.m. He was just a few blocks away when police say two men approached him. There was an altercation. One of the men pulled the trigger in broad daylight. John Lewis Dennis heard the gunshot and ran outside.
I talked a little bit to him. He gave me his name, that he was from New York, and he told me that two males were the people who did this.
Raskin died at Jackson Memorial Hospital. Joseph Wax is a friend of the family's. He tells 7 News Raskin was in town from Brooklyn, New York, visiting his daughter and grandchildren. No one ever imagined a short walk to Temple would end in a homicide.
This is a big effect on the community. A rabbi walking to Temple. I've got two beautiful children. I walk to Temple with them every Sabbath in Miami Beach. It's devastating.
The Anti-Defamation League expressing their condolences. The league saying this is a terrible tragedy. While the motivation for the crime is still being investigated, nothing can justify the killing of an innocent man walking to his place of worship to pray on his holy day. The league says it trusts the Miami-Dade Police Department, and like many in the community, the hope is that police find the men responsible for the senseless crime.
When there's a real dark world out there, lighting a candle could really do a tremendous amount of good. And that's what we're going to do in his memory, and God willing, we're going to try to spread the love.
Miami-Dade police still searching for the two men, and they're still investigating this shooting, but they're asking anyone with any information to call Miami-Dade Crime Stoppers. That number 305-471-TIPS. Reporting from northeast Miami-Dade, Lorena Estrada, 7 News 19.
This is so important that we discuss this, because this is Yosef Raskin who lost his life. And, you know, if you're not familiar, you know, Orthodox Jews, they walk to Sabbath, you know, all the time. And they're out in the open. I mean, I remember when I lived in New Jersey, I mean, I'd see them all the time walking with their families. Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful. I mean, this is horrible. This is horrible. And then to come all the way from Brooklyn to Miami, you know, this is absolutely horrible. And we're sharing this so that we can, you know, share some perspective, because a lot of times if we live with our eyes closed, if we have our fingers in our ears and we're lulled away by sports or television or just what's going on in our own life, we're going to fail. We're going to fail to see, to have compassion, to understand. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just got to look in the face of things that happen and say, wow, mm-hmm. you know, how would I react to that? And if we don't stand for brothers, people that are being persecuted, people that are less fortunate than us, that are not in the majority, if we just turn the blind eye, believe me, you're next. You're mm-hmm. next. Mm-hmm. And we want to pray for the Jewish community. All our Jewish communities all around the nation and the world, we want to stand with them publicly and say, as believers, we are here with you. You are not alone. Today, you know, if you're a Christian, we're all Israeli today. You know, we stand in solidarity mm-hmm. with our Jewish brothers and sisters and say that, you know, I am my brother's keeper. Continue to pray for Jews, continue to pray for Christians, and continue to stand for truth. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
Ah, the classic wedding pictures. Bride and groom gazing lovingly into each other's eyes. This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and Jay Payleitner has a good reminder for us to remember those early days of our relationship.
I would have guys come up to me who were hurting. They would say, I don't know what happened to the girl I married. And I just want to grab them by the lapels and say, you know what? That girl you married, she's asking the same question. She's sharing your bed. She's in your home. She's saying, where did that boy go? Now, of course, women, they want a knight in shining armor. But they also need that boy they married sometimes. And we get too far away from that.
Now, there's a good suggestion for you. Pull out that wedding album and sit next to each other and look it over together. Be reminded once again of the reason you married each other. You'll find more encouragement for your journey at FocusOnTheFamily.com/marriage.
I'll never forget, I read this book once, and the author asked this question. I don't remember much about the entire book. I was in college at the time. And he says, in the book, what is one thing that if you started doing every single day for the rest of your life, what's the one thing that will change your life? And that one sentence just exploded within inside of me. I go, whoa, I was in my 20s. That's powerful. That's deep. And I go, what's the one thing that if I just started doing every single day would change my life? I got thinking. I said, I wasn't a Christian at the time. I said, I bet if I read my Bible every day, I bet you that would change my life. And that was the beginning.
Wow. Mm.
That was the beginning. One little step. Let me tell you something. We have a simple plan for you. You can get that at iabide.org. It's free. Doesn't cost you a thing. And you will learn how to hear God's voice, connect with God, and write down what he's telling you and have a relationship with the Lord. I'm telling you, if you allow God's word to get on the inside of you, mm-hmm. it'll change your life because he is the word.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And you know, on VFN Radio and VFN TV, we have spoken extensively about technology and how these advances in technology are literally changing our life in so many ways. I mean, how we get information, how we interact with others, the lack of interaction with others as a result of technology, right. You know, social media. And there is a new wave, if you will. You know, so one thing about technology is that things become easier for us to do or supposedly give us more connectivity. There's always a trade-off. You know, there's a great benefit. And if you're not careful, you lose something in the midst of, you know, the benefit. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. But if you've noticed that these smartphones now, they're not really smartphones. They're actually, you know, mini computers, but they probably wouldn't sell well if they told you you can have a computer in the palm of your hand. So they have to tell you it's a phone, but really it's a computer. You know, the technology and in these chips, probably, Pat, you can confirm this, probably do more than probably some of the first computers we had out there. I mean, lot more.
Some of the calculators do more than what we had back then.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing. You can do almost anything on a regular personal computer on your actual phone. Mm. But they don't call it a mini computer. They call it a smartphone. And there's been a progression because years they started out with personal, I think they're called PDAs, personal digital assistants, but they weren't connected to the phone. So they had the Palm Pilots, and then Microsoft came out with one, and then Dell Axum. I had a couple of those things. And so they were not phone related. It was the iPhone that actually married both of those technologies together, the PDA, the personal digital assistant, and the phone, and combined them to one. And since then, you've had more phones have come out, more brands, and they've tried to push each other and push the envelope, if you will, to get us where we can do more by using less. And then came Siri. And if you're not familiar with an iPhone, Siri is a digital assistant that actually talks back to you if you ask the phone some questions. And I'm surprised at the things it tries to answer and some of the things it doesn't answer. But the idea is that, you know, if you're driving or you're walking and you need to schedule an appointment, you can hit the button and speak to Siri, and Siri will schedule you your appointment tomorrow at 3 o'clock with such and such person. You know, or if you need to send an email out on the go, you can hit the button and tell Siri, send email to this person, and this is what I want you to say. And so it's good for those type of functions, and you can search. Well, now Microsoft has a version similar to Siri, and she is called Cortana.
Cortana.
Where these names come from, I don't know. But this is the idea, though, and this is what's interesting, what we're getting to, that Cortana goes a little bit above and beyond Siri. Because the idea, and this is Business Insider that is reporting on this, and this sounds like it may be trivial, but really it isn't, because we're going somewhere with this. You know, the idea is that they started researching Microsoft. They wanted to know, since they're designing this digital assistant, right, and they're hoping that it can one day replace an actual personal assistant, they began to start setting up interviews with personal assistants so that they can find out exactly, you know, what is it that you do and how much time is spent researching and how much of this stuff do you do is proactive as opposed to responding to requests from the person that you're assisting. So they interviewed these people, and they were trying to get some insight from them. But the idea is that, you know, they want to have a humanistic connection with technology, okay? This is what they're writing. This is kind of amazing here, because they want to focus not only on their ability to retrieve data, this digital assistant, but also it learns. This is a learning machine. So the idea is that, there's a lot of data that it gathers. One of the things that one of the assistants said, which I thought was interesting, she says, I gather tons of information on the people that I'm working with. And there's tons of it. And so they're trying to make this digital assistant to do the very same thing, to store data. The idea is that the more the digital assistant learns about your behavior, learns where you visit, because it's all GPS, learns more about you, it's eventually going to become so smart that it will begin to tell you what you're actually going to think next. Can you imagine a day in the age where you speak to your phone and say, I'm about to go where? And then they're going to tell you based upon your behavior, where they've been tracking you. Wow. You're going to be able to talk to your computer and ask. And this is not here yet. We're just projecting now, but this is what you're looking at. It's studying you so much that you'll probably be able to talk to your computer and say, what am I thinking about right now? Because think about it. It is recording all of your search data, everything you search, everything you liked on Facebook, where you went to get coffee. It knows your routine. And so the idea is that when they see you in any particular area, they'll prompt you and say, hey, isn't this where you bought flowers the last time? Isn't this where you bought coffee at, you know, this place? Would you like a cup of coffee? I want you to see this commercial. It's a side-by-side comparison between Siri, that is a digital assistant, personal assistant for iPhone, and now Cortana, which is the assistant for Microsoft. And they're doing a play here. You know, Cortana does this, and then Siri talks back and says, well, I can't do that. Watch this.
Cortana, when my wife calls, remind me to tell her happy anniversary.
Next time you talk to Caroline, I'll remind you.
Oh no, I cannot do that.
Oh, and remind me to get roses when I'm near any flower shop.
Sure thing. Remind you when you get to flower shop.
I can't do that either.
Cortana, it's gonna be a great night. Oh, wow, thanks for the traffic alert. I better get going.
Now that is a smartphone.
Interesting. Now, if you need a digital assistant to remind you about your anniversary, you're going to be in trouble. I mean, this is, so you can say this is good or this could be bad, but this is what business insiders began to ask them. They said, well, what was the most important thing you found out during this interview process from personal assistants? And this is what they came out with. They said, it's all about trust. This is what the people that they interviewed said. The person tells me very private information, and this person expects me to keep this private information between us. They don't go into details, but you can imagine the kinds of things that an assistant that follows that type of person around might see or hear. And these are assistants that follow, I guess, high-level people, or didn't get too much detail. If the person doesn't trust me, then I can't do my job effectively, because I'll be limited in the information that I get from that person. I just had the idea that the personal assistant knows the person they're assisting so that they can anticipate things, okay? Now get this. I just wouldn't have guessed that it was so rigorous. One person pulled out her journal and she called it her Bible for this particular person.
Oh my God.
Listen to this. This is getting crazy. And she wrote down the extensive set of notes ranging from people that person had met and what that person was wearing the first time they met and the very detailed work around what they think they would need to refer to at a later time based upon that meeting. And she had this great quote about how there's a difference between what the person says they like and what they really like. So what's the point here? That Cortana is your own personal digital notebook. And it records every single thing that you do. It's all about recording and gathering that data. And it's like, okay, is it really important for, you know, at what point do you say, I can do without the personal assistant because it knows everything about me?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's way too much data. By the way, at the same time, that Russian hackers, by the way, hacked and stole 1.2 billion passwords and compromised a couple hundred thousand websites. There's some things that you don't need to know about. And so you just need to be careful with these things. And we've talked about this often, that, hey, you know, technology is great. It, you know, it helps. I mean, I use technology. We all use it here. We're able to use it, you know, help us to be more efficient in the things that we do. But the difference is that you don't submit to technology. You let technology submit to you. And there's some intelligent, you know, decisions you're going to have to make, wise decisions rather, where you say, hey, that's just a bit too much. I'm going to have to scale back. But imagine the world. Imagine where this is, there is going to. I mean, we talked about how Ray Kurzweil with Google wrote a book on how to, I believe it's how to create a mind, a digital mind. These interactive computers, this artificial intelligence is going to get so advanced that they're going to be able to communicate with us, and they're going to be studying our habits so much that they're going to anticipate what we're going to need before we even ask it. So you wake up in the morning and your phone says, would you like me to remind you to make your cup of coffee? You're about to leave. Oh, did you leave your keys on the desk again? You know, and you go back and you, yep, that's where I left them, because you've been in the habit of forgetting your keys on the desk before you walk out. You know, and it's studying. You're going down the same road and it says, do you need to stop at Walmart and get milk? You always stop at this time to get milk at Walmart. You know, at certain points, like way too much information, and you say enough. Enough is enough. But this is where this is all going, and it's advancing. I mean, just to see in the last 7 years, the technology that has advanced. I mean, for instance, you know, who writes a letter anymore? I mean, we've lost that whole, and really that is such a creative way of writing. We're raising children today in this generation that don't even know how to communicate effectively, because everything is through text, everything is through email. It's short phrases on Twitter, and they need to involve critical thinking just to be able to express a thought or a concept besides, you know, 160 characters. But, you know, that's a whole skill thing that just left creative writing and being able to emotionally get involved, you know, put your emotions on a piece of paper and send it out. And I'm amazed that the post office still stays in business, because nobody's writing letters anymore. But that's just one small thing. I want to encourage you that as these technologies continue to come, they continue to advance, that you don't lose who you are as a person, that you continue to spend time with God. Hey, it's okay. Get one of those old-fashioned printed Bibles. You know, you can turn the pages. You know, you can read. Get you some paper journal and believe it or not, a pen that has ink, and you can begin to write down as you abide with God what He is saying to you. Hey, there may become a time where you're not going to be able to use that digital assistant. There's going to come a time, like during a hurricane or a natural disaster, where we lost power for 10 days, and it was, you can have all the technology in the world, but if there's no internet and no power, you're not using it.
That's right.
And so learn to use paper, learn to use pens. You know, John Paul Jackson prophesied in The Perfect Storm that you're going to have to be able to prove on paper that you paid certain bills. And if you don't have any printed copy on paper, you're not going to be able to prove that you paid it.
Right.
If everything is electronic.
If you own anything.
Or if you own anything. So we want to encourage you. You use technology. Don't let technology use you. And this is the standard rule of thumb, that any product that you get that's free, you're the product. And when you pay for it, it's the product. But if you, any of these software that you download, you're the product. Use technology. Don't let technology use you. And remember, abide and spend time with God and write down what He's saying, because you're going to need to know the wisdom of God. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We've been talking for some time, and it's not like entertainment, although, you know, we have moments that seem kind of entertaining a little bit. We try to kind of make it as light as we can, while it's actually the light of the gospel, because, you know, He tells us to rejoice always and pray continually, for this is God's will for us, so we can, you know, not be dreading what's taking place. But you can listen to the prophetic words. We have them available for you. You can get caught up on God. You can get discipled. You can go to VFNTV.com and subscribe to The Torch. You can subscribe to the newsletter. You can download the podcast. You can download the app. You can carry us with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And what God said specifically in this whole journey, because this is a network that God is building through your prayers and your love gifts. I mean, our sponsors and our partners and all the prayers that have gone up has birthed what you're seeing. You know, a network now that's reaching around the world, television and radio. And it's because God said, I have some things I wanted to say. And this is happening all over the land. It's obviously not just us, but he's raising up voices that just let us know. He says, listen, he says, you know, he commands us to go be the light of the world. We don't have an option. It just seems kind of new because very few people are doing it, but we all should be doing this. And if you're thinking, I just don't know how I can do it. You can do it by becoming a partner. You can do it by joining our sponsors who stand up and hang on the shingle of their business. I stand up for God and country in that order and Israel. And by standing with us, that's exactly what you're saying. Mm-hmm. There's so many different areas.
We're in this for the long haul or until they take us down. We're in this thing. We are here all the way until the Lord says no. And we are excited about it. There are so many things going to happen and unfold. Understand that God is preparing himself a people across the world and across the nation. We believe there's going to be a third great awakening. There are men and women who may have bowed the knee, who may have done these things that everybody else has done. I mean, read our testimony. I mean, God's brought us out of all this, but when God redeems you, even if you bowed your knee, he'll forgive you. And so he said that he reserved for himself prophets that have not bowed their knee. Well, what we have, he's reserved for himself his son, Jesus Christ, that if we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, though we've sinned, though we've faltered, though we've made these mistakes and error and the enemy seduced us or lured us or whatever, you know, whatever it is, that when you repent, God forgives you and it's as if you never bowed your knee. So it's not about a self-righteous, hey, I've never done anything wrong. Well, you just did that wrong because that's not true and that's pride and can't be used. It's false humility. But understand that if, in fact, that you want, say, God, I want to be a part of what you're doing. I don't want to be on the sidelines. I want to be a player, as we talked about yesterday. I want to encourage you. Today is your day. Today is the day that you can say, you know what? I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life, the Lord of my life. And I want to be forgiven. God, forgive me for everything, all my compromise, where I've bowed my knee down, where I've sinned against you and sinned against others. Restore me, cleanse me, be the Lord of my life. I'm going to begin to learn how to be your disciple and abide with you on a daily basis. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Awesome. Go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, and find out more about how we made that very same decision. We met our God, our Father God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, and you just did too. And share your story with us. Let us know that what happened. And also go to iabide.org and learn how to abide with Jesus. You abide in him, he abides in you, and you're going to be very successful as he measures success in your life. It's time. Come on. It's time to follow God. It's time to read his word and do what it says. Listen, there's grace for that. There's mercy for that. I mean, walking with God, there's nothing more exciting than to be the church. Yes, the truth is, if the church doesn't grasp this revelation, we may lose our own country.
Right.
We may lose this freedom that God's given us. But lose it or not lose it. Listen, let me tell you something. The church is across the world. Every form of government is in all those different nations and the nation that you're in. But listen, the kingdom of God continues on no matter what. It's time to read the word and do what it says. You know, that's what Vine Fellowship Network does. Mm-hmm. You know, we just believe what God says and we begin to do it. You know, Vine Fellowship Network is a network of abiding churches, you know, led by pastors, and that maybe you have inside of you, the Lord's calling you to plant a church. You know, maybe in your city that you're called, you feel like the Lord's calling you to be able to plant a church. But guess what?
That's not wrong to be able to advance the kingdom and share the gospel of Jesus Christ in your city, but you need to be connected, rightly related. You need to be have other brothers and sisters standing with you and to be trained, make disciples, teach them to obey all my teachings, Jesus said. You know, VFNU, we have everything available for you if we are for you. If God's calling you to relate to us, that's Vine Fellowship Network, Vine Fellowship Network or VFNFamily.org. VFNFamily.org. Listen, that is not wrong what you're seeking to do, but you got to make sure it can't be just done any old way. You have to do it in a way that you're covered and rightly related, and you have people standing with you who understand that this is a God thing. This is what he wants, to go into all the world and preach the good news of the kingdom, and those who believe, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey all my commandments. Check it out, vfnfamily.org, vfnfamily.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining us back from the break is Pat and Steve. Steve, talk to us about the foundation of rejoicing.
Absolutely. Well, you know, a lot of times, you know, there's been so many advances, so many things that's going on in our culture. And a lot of times too, we've talked about it many times before. It's just kind of like the up and down emotions where people, it's just like, they're happy for a day. They're not happy. They're just like, they entertain, they got to get entertained. And it's just like, you want something that's long lasting, something that's just like everlasting, something that's going to be like, okay, I don't want to be just happy for a few hours. I don't want to be happy until it wears off. You know, I don't want just a sugar high. And I was in my abiding time, and I just came across rejoicing. And it just so just reminded me of what it is that we're rejoicing over. And it says, okay, for if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life?
This is in the Bible, right?
This is in the Bible, I'm sorry. This is in Romans. He says, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we have now received reconciliation. And I just really just began to just soak on that. And it's just like, when we remember what Jesus Christ did for us, when we remember what was done for us, what was forgiven for us, we really begin to just rejoice and understand the fact that I'm not who I was.
Right.
And God has just wiped it all clean. And it's just like, you remember, it's like all that weight, all that burden is gone. And I came across also, it says in Psalms 119, it says, I rejoice in following your statutes as one who rejoices in great riches. It's like when you get caught up in remembering what Jesus Christ did and the finished work of how he has forgiven us, we begin to rejoice. And you think about it, and it's just like we... returning back to that, staying in that place of remembering that we're forgiven. We talk about the fact that one sense, are you saved? Are you saved? It's just like, well, what are you saved from? That we're no longer eternally judged, but we have eternal life through Jesus. And you think about it, Leonard Ravenhill says that entertainment is the devil's replacement for joy. And it says, you know, basically, we have all these
repeat
things.
Repeat that again. That's awesome.
Entertainment is the devil's replacement for joy. Is that entertainment, it feeds on your flesh.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with entertainment. I love a good hockey game.
You call that entertainment?
That is entertainment.
Oh.
You know, because...
others would call that torture, but it's okay.
Kind of like baseball. Kind of the same thing.
Yeah. No.
Or football. Or if you're in Brazil, if you're also watching football. Soccer for us in the West, whatever. But the thing is, though, there's nothing wrong with entertainment. But when you think about it, though, a life lived for entertainment, it's like I said, when I begin to just think about this, it's like that sugar high. You have some sugar, candy, drink, whatever, and it only lasts for a little while, but then there's that dip of just like, okay, I need more. Right. It's not going to fulfill me. But you think about rejoicing. True joy is something that feeds our soul. It feeds our spirit, because we understand it's Jesus that fulfills us. And you think about that also too. I mean, it's the foundation of a heart of gratitude. And right now, it's just like all the things that's going on in our culture, and it's like, you got to fight to be grateful. You gotta keep that constant focus of just like, you know, I was being able to spend time with the boys this weekend, and to me, I think it's such a breath of fresh air when you can enjoy a car ride with a 12-year-old and they can say, you know what, man, life's good. I got food on the table.
Right.
I got a roof over my head. I got a family that loves me.
Got an Xbox. Got a Wii. I'm good.
But the fact that he didn't go that far. He just said, I got a dog to play with and I got a family that loves me.
Wow, that's great.
But that's the perspective of just like being grateful and understanding the fact that, you know what? It's God that forgave me.
Mm-hmm.
I have got that rejoicing. I can rejoice in what Jesus did. And the Holy Spirit brought me back too. And it's like there was a specific encounter that Jesus has. And you can read about this in Luke. Jesus is talking with a religious leader. He's talking with a Pharisee. And at the time when they're talking, a woman comes in and is just weeping. And the whole time that she's there and she's crying and she falls at Jesus' feet and she's wiping Jesus' feet with her tears. Mm-hmm. And there's interchange back and forth between the Pharisee and Jesus. And this is what Jesus says. He says, two people owed money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Basically, imagine one owed him $50 and the other owed him $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
Neither of them had the money to pay him back. So he forgave the debts of both. And Jesus asks him, okay, now which of him will love him more? And he says, well, the one who had a bigger debt. He says, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I'm paraphrasing. But the thing is, though, when we understand what Jesus forgave us of, knowing that we did not have any ability to wipe clean our eternal debt, mm-hmm. how much more are we going to rejoice? Imagine if somebody walked up to you right now and gave you a paid-off invoice for your mortgage, gave you a paid off invoice for that car you just bought. That's okay. Let's say you buy a house for $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to rejoice. But when mm-hmm. you truly understand what Jesus Christ has done for you in eternity, I mean, that is grounds for rejoicing.
Yeah. Right?
And that's the awesome thing. And it's just like, if you're listening and it's just like, oh, I don't really know about all this. And it's just like, do you know him?
Yeah.
Have you allowed him to come in your life? Have you asked him to erase your debt? Have you said, Lord, I need some forgiven in my life. I need that debt cleaned. I didn't even know I had that debt, but I know it's only through you that you can clean that debt. Yeah. And the amazing thing is that I think about how exciting it is that when we're telling someone about who Jesus is, I mean, he's the debt payer.
Mm-hmm.
He's the cleaner of all debts. And we rejoice in someone saying yes. And, you know, the Bible talks about reaping and sowing. And it's just like where we work in someone's life that someone else a few days later can talk about Jesus and they can say yes to Jesus. But what's even more exciting is that we've been talking many, many discussions about just hungry for the presence of the Lord and just, you know, a great awakening and just exciting of what God's going to do. But the encouraging thing is to think about is that there were past generations that have cried out for more of God, mm-hmm. for the rejoicing of his presence. And it's just like we are about to enter into a season where we're going to reap where we have not sowed,
mm-hmm.
where there have been the generations before us, the Leonard Ravenhills before us, the Steve Hills before us, that have prayed and sought the face of God so earnestly, so consistently, and dedicated their lives to prayer that we're going to see what their prayers were for. And it's like, this is a time of rejoicing. And I want to encourage you that don't be discouraged. We're seeing, you know, the greatest amount of darkness in the world right now. It is literally, it seems like it's almost covering the earth. Mm-hmm. It's on every continent. Mm. And it's just like, what's going on? What's going on? God knows what's going on. And the Bible says specifically that his glory is going to cover the earth. And it's like, these are times for rejoicing. Mm-hmm. These are exciting days that we can rejoice in the Lord. We can rejoice who Jesus is and what Jesus Christ has done. And it's just, get back to a place of rejoicing. Get back to a heart of gratitude and remembering who Jesus is, because he wiped my debt clean and he can wipe yours.
That's awesome. You know, awesome. Happiness is something that just happens, but joy is from the Lord. More, we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
You know, I was just thinking, I want a sailboat. I want to be able to sail in the Gulf of Mexico. And a small one, just real, like, about, like...
I had one when we were kids. Remember that?
Yep.
I sure did. Get out of Dodge. I sure remember on that. Second Street?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, was it like a sunfin or something?
It was, wasn't very big.
Yeah.
Like 14-footer.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it. I don't know what it would be called, but it's just to get on the beautiful water out there. Don and I were traveling this weekend, and we came over a body of water at some point. And it's just such so peaceful. The second you come out of all whatever's going on in the land and stuff, and you come over a bridge and there's water on both sides of you, it's just so peaceful. Something serene about, when you think about the glassy sea, you know, in heaven.
What's cool about those, they don't break down.
They don't, yeah.
Like motors, man.
Right, right, right. I'm going to go get some stuff from the store. Get on the sailboat. We're going to go to the store.
No fuel.
No fuel. Just wind. And, yeah, I really thought about that. So I'll be looking for one that's, you know, fairly about 14 foot, I'm thinking. Something like Jim had.
Something you can handle by yourself.
Yeah. Well, I had a story, you know, years ago, we used to live on the beach, and Daphne, my sister, and I, when we were younger, rented a sunfin. I think it was like a sunfin, maybe a little bit bigger than a sunfin. And we got on the bay, the Pensacola Bay, and we were going to just sail across the bay because we've been living on the island. So what's the big deal? It's just a little kite with a boat on it. Mm-hmm. And we got on, we rented the sailboat, and we got on the water, and we sailed perfectly. Straight out, just like 90 miles an hour. Like, this is great.
Right to the Gulf.
Well, it wasn't, and it make it. Well, we would hit the bridge. Probably we went to that, but it just straight out, and it's like, oh my goodness, this is wonderful. And then we realized we don't know how to go to the right. We don't know how to go to the left. We don't know how to turn around. We can just go straight, like when we were diving that time.
Right.
And so we had to. We tried to spin that puppy. We tried to tic-tac it, you know, all these different things that they supposedly said. And then we were over all the seaweed, nasty stuff. And as a kid, your imagination's going wild. Like, I can't get out here. We can't walk it here. And finally, we just pulled it up on shore on the other side of in another city. And I stayed with the sailboat, and Daphne walked all the way over the bridge.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and came back and got the folks. And she's probably laughing when we're talking about this. And they came and got the boat. It was pretty tragic. So obviously I'm going to need some lessons, but my doctor told me that he would teach me. He would teach me. He says real peaceful, and it's a great, you know, a stress releaser. And it's pretty cool to be on the water out there. I remember once we were swimming as kids, and that was a perfect life. I wish I would have known how to enjoy it better back then.
I know,
right? Life works backwards, right? The frontal lobe don't develop till you're like 25. Mm.
Yep.
You can't really appreciate things.
Yeah.
And every day I would get up, come home from school, and I would be on an island. I'm like Flipper. I mean, this is like, I'm on the island every day. And I would go swimming, and we'd do all these different things together. But I would have enjoyed it even better. And it was amazing how many friends we had when we lived on the beach, because everybody would come over and visit.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. We didn't realize that we were the beach house. That's why they were actually coming.
Imagine that.
The beach house. So that's my excursion, and losing weight and getting a sailboat by God's grace.
Great plan.
Yes.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining us back from the break is Pat and Steve. And you know, I had a chance this weekend to watch a program with my boys, guys, that, you know, I sat there, and I think it's Animal Planet. I really don't know the network or what it was played on, but the name of the program was called Epic Pools. Have you guys seen this program before?
Epic.
Epic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when they say epic, Steve, they mean epic. We're watching his program, and apparently there are people around the country, United States, that invest, I guess, you know, a lot of resources and funds and monies and creativity and time and earth and all kinds of material to create these Wonderland resorts, I guess, in their backyard. Really? I mean, if you have imagination, I mean, there's some folks, they don't lack resources. They lack imagination. I mean, if they just have more imagination, they have the money. They just keep building and keep, you know.
Right.
But I mean, I saw homes where they didn't have land. There was a hill, so they brought tons of dirt over and created something. I saw where one home, they wanted waterfront access, but they're on top of a mountain. So the only way to get down to the mountain, I mean, you know, they wanted to get into the water, was to build a tram system that went from their top of their house all the way into the water so that they can access the water. It's only $1 million to do that. And took divers to go, you know, 40 feet under the water to actually install the tracks. But I mean, they got it done. And, you know, I'm thinking, wow, one house had $100,000 just for the water slide in their pool. $100,000. I mean, they had pool systems that were $3 million. Uh-huh. And I'm looking at this stuff and I go, oh my goodness, is that Disney or is that a house? What is that? What is that? You know? And it was just amazing. This one woman had a shell that was put into her in-ground pool that had that it was like it's half shell thing, right? And you swim from the in-ground pool that's in a house.
In the house.
In the house. The in-ground pool in the house. And it has a glass sliding door that you swim underground to go exit to the outside of the pool. The issue is that the shell-looking thing that was like, you know, I don't know, mini roof. It wasn't that big, maybe 6 foot wide. That was $1 million. I mean, and it's
not the pool. Just the shell.
Yeah, and it served no purpose, just for looks. I mean, that's all that was there. And the glass door. I mean, that was. I mean, several hundred thousand dollars just to be able to, you know, transfer through. And I just look at all this, and I'm thinking, man, wow.
At least
we had a slip and slide. Golly.
Well, I think about. When you're able to spend that type of money, you know, my son says, Dad, how were they able to get a loan for that? I said, son, when you're doing stuff like that, you're not getting a loan. You're just writing a check. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
And I started thinking about only in America. Mm. You know, I think about how blessed this country is where someone can spend hundreds upon hundreds of thousands of dollars on slides and water activity and beautification, not necessities. And I'm not here to talk about, you know, hey, should they or not or this. And I'm just thinking of a bigger picture here. Like, wow, what a place. What a place where there's so much wealth that could occur. And I'll never forget what that man told us, Pat, that we met, that millionaire. He said, with great wealth comes great responsibility. A lot of people want wealth. You know, you talk to folks, they wish they had more riches, they wish they had more wealth. But the truth of the matter is that I don't know if many people could be responsible with wealth. I really don't know if people really have thought about the consequences of having wealth go through their hands and their fingers, but most importantly, across their hearts and their mind. What would that do to them and how would that change them, if any? And maybe we need to start thinking about those things. If God's going to entrust us as the church to have, you know, let's say an enormous amount of wealth, what would you do with that? Why would God bless you with that? What would you do? Would you put a $100,000 slide in your backyard? Or would you maybe think about other things that you could be doing? And me and my boys, we had this conversation because, you know, they like to give to certain things and, you know, and I think how many poor people could we feed with that? And how many things could we do with that? When you have poor people all around the world, you know, I think about Global Issues as a website, and they share some policy facts on poverty. And they say at least 80% of humanity, 80% of humanity lives on $10 a day.
Wow.
80%. I mean, when you say live, we're talking about housing. We're talking about education. We're talking about light, you know, air conditioning, not, you know, we're talking about food, mm-hmm. transportation, $10 a day. I mean, understand that if I took the train from Jersey into the city, that was $7 one way.
Mm-hmm.
The toll from New Jersey into Manhattan was $15. And we're talking about 80% of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
80% wow. of humanity lives on less than $10 a day. More than 80% of the world's population lives in countries where income differentials are widening. They say that the poorest 40% of the world's population accounts for 5% of global income, and the richest 20% accounts for 3/4 of the world's income. According to UNICEF, 22,000 children die each day due to poverty. In 7 days, that's 144,000 children. In 1 7-day week, in a month, what is that? Almost 300,000 children in a month?
Mm-hmm.
And in a year, maybe 3 million plus mm-hmm. children die a year of just hungry. I mean, and you look at that, they say they die quietly in some of the poorest villages on earth, far removed from the security and the conscience of the world. Being meek and weak in life makes them makes these dying multitudes even more visible in death. And you look at, I mean, I can just go on and on and on and on about these statistics. They say that 72 million children of primary school age in the developing world were not in school in 2005. 72 million. Things that we take for granted. I just learned here recently that in some countries, people have to pay to send their children to go to elementary school. Who would have thought? There's no such wow. thing as public education.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
Things that we take for granted. And I believe that what the Bible says is true. To whom much is given, much is required. And it's time for us to maybe look and take inventory. No, not of what we don't have, but more of what we do have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's time for us to sit back and as we're sitting on the couch and looking at the big screen and looking at the other areas and start looking at all the stuff that surrounds us and say, God has indeed blessed us. What are we doing with the blessing?
Mm.
Proverbs 19:17 says, whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. Listen, when you're giving to the poor, you are lending to God, and God, I believe, is going to hold us accountable. What are we going to do with the blessing that the Lord has given us? I want to encourage you. Look to do something for the needy. Look to provide them food. Look to educate them. Look to clothe them and to house them from what the Lord has blessed you with. Not only will God bless you, but it's just the right thing to do. Listen, there's so many people that are in need today, and if you're a blessed one, that's a great way to have an attitude of gratitude and have the joy that Steve was talking about in the previous segment. We need the joy of the Lord. Give. And I'm telling you, you'll be blessed. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.